You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And of course, you can visit Arby's for an exclusive Cleveland Browns Dog Pound Cup for a limited time only while supplies last. Arby's, we have
the meats.
The meats. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines where we dip into the mailbag. John in Strongsville, welcome to the show.
How are you guys doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Just got out of class. Anyways, the way I see it, I think the defense is going to step up this week, and I think we can. It's going to be a dogfight type of game. And my question on the defense, more towards Matt here, just because as a former player, they have to know how bad they've been playing, and it's got to be starting to stick to them. And they also have to know they're not going to win this game without defense, because, quite frankly, we're not going to get 450 yards from McCown this week, right, and we're not going to put up 30 points. So my question to Matt really is, how aware is the defense that they're going to need to play well this week, and is it bothering them of how bad they've been playing?
They are aware, and if they're not, they're in the wrong business, or those leading them are not holding them accountable. Because I know first thing you do every meeting is there's a pamphlet, kind of, you know, after a football game, there's a pamphlet with your grades and the stats that you're giving up, and readily available to us and to the players throughout the locker room and in some of the meeting rooms is just the league stats. So you know where you rank. And in most defense, actually every defensive meeting room, whenever a fan gets an opportunity to look into like a team room or a defensive room, there are boards, you know, all over the place with goals.
Yep.
And you get a check marks, a box, you know, or I mean an X, a sticker, you know, in this case, you know, might be a dog bone or something when you reach that goal. Obviously at Ohio State it was Buckeye leaves, or it was a bolt in San Diego. And when you know you're not filling out those goals week after week after week, you can understand there's frustrations associated with that. And yes, it should bother you to the point where you don't want to go out in public if you are a part of that defense, because no one wants to be the hindrance. No one wants to be the leash for this football team. Now that the offense is playing well, the defense is now going to be the focal point of what's holding this team back. And if more time goes by and they continue to play this way, everyone will go, well, we could have done this, we should have done that, we should, you know. And that's why individuals on that side of the football most likely won't have jobs much longer.
And that's why they got to step it up. So hopefully they will. Let's go to Danny in SoCal. Danny, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
Awesome. I want to talk about Travis Benjamin. I mean, what are your guys' thoughts in terms of signing him up long-term? Pay Benjamin the Benjamins. That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure if he's a number one receiver or a number two on other teams, but for us, he does a lot for us. I mean, I know against the Raiders, he had that muff, but I think if we pay him, he can get that out of his mind. And I just want to see him here for many years to come. I think he's an integral part of this team, and he's been doing nothing but performing since training camp. So what do you guys think about keeping him here? Let's do this.
I like it. I think that, you know, it's probably a delicate balance for them. He's playing so well right now. But I would love Travis Benjamin to be the number two receiver here for a long time.
I agree.
Plus punt returner as well, and homegrown. You drafted
absolutely
him. Develop, retain, that's the key. So, yeah, I would not be opposed to seeing that whatsoever.
And I almost feel that some of those talks should start very soon, because if this guy goes, you know, through five games, what's he got, 24 receptions? If he goes for, you know, 80, he'll want to get paid like a 1.5 or 1-ish. You know, if he's making the plays and he goes over 1,000 yards, he's gonna start comparing himself to other 1,000-yard receivers in the National Football League that went for 70-plus receptions. Right?
Right.
And those guys may be in, you know, the second or third year of their deal and may have done that same thing multiple years in a row to deserve the pay that they're getting. And I'm not saying by any means or discounting Travis Benjamin's his growth or what he's done, but get him now so we can get, and I hate to say this, take money out of his pocket because I'm a player and I wouldn't want to do this, but to get him now, get him locked up at a good solid rate per se on what he deserves to be that solid number two. don't have him dreaming in a world that he needs to get paid like a number one, which turns into a holdout and an opportunity for him to get a bad feeling from this organization and want to move on to somewhere else.
Agreed. It's a delicate balance, and I would not be surprised if those talks are ongoing as we speak right now in terms of Travis Benjamin. Dino, you with
us?
Yes,
sir, guys.
Let's dip into the mailbag real quick.
Yeah, let's do
it.
And
then we'll get Cam in Cleveland and wrap up for the
top
of the
hour.
You know
what, Cam? It's funny. Cam just hung up.
Well, then fine. Let's get into the mailbag.
You can tweet the show at Browns_daily. Use the hashtag AskCBD. Brandon just asked you guys, why do the Browns run to the right so much? Why not run left behind some of the best offensive linemen in the league, talking about Joe Thomas, Joel Bitonio, and even Alex Mack of running to the left?
I think, you know, Matt, and you can talk about this. Don't teams consider running right? That's the power side of your offensive line. And I think Joe Thomas is a guy who certainly feels a little bit better in pass protection than he does out there run blocking. So I think that's the side that they like to run on. Do teams typically run right more than left a little bit?
Yes. I've always found it that way. And the teams that can create balance have an advantage. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, Mitchell Schwartz, and their confidence in him as a run blocker as opposed to a pass blocker. And, you know, Joe Thomas being the guy that he is in pass protection and taking on the number one pass rusher each and every week.
And that's exactly right. That's what Joe Thomas does. He might have his hands full with Von Miller. They'll throw Von Miller on the other side against Mitchell Schwartz, and they're going to have to give some help wherever Von Miller is. All right, Dino, what else you got?
From at Kip Rusin, he uses the AskCBD hashtag. Guys, what kind of attitude shift do the Browns need to beat a 5-0 Broncos team? Is last Sunday's win enough to get them going?
I think it should be. You know, and it keeps you in the mix. It keeps you in conversation. And as I mentioned in the opening segment following Coach Pettine, this is a Denver Broncos team that if you watch them on film, at least offensively, and look at their games as a whole, which Nathan, you know, talks about them only scoring touchdowns in three of their five wins on the offensive side of the ball, that is ripe for the taking. That if you bring your A game, if our offense is going to be tamed down but still solid versus a very, very good defense and not giving them the football, and our defense steps up and limits what they do and plays the way we feel that we can play when we're at our best, this is a winnable football game.
Absolutely it is. This is a team struggling on the offensive side of the ball. What they do very well offensively right now is not much, but it's definitely throwing the ball. That's what we've actually been better at than stopping the run. They've struggled to run the football with Ronnie Hillman and especially C.J. Anderson. Anybody who plays fantasy football right now knows how bad it's been for C.J. Anderson this year. All right, when we come back, we are going to hear from the AFC Offensive Player of the Week, Josh McCown. I sat down with him. We went through the three touchdowns from a week ago in detail, talked about the coverages he saw. I thought it was a good interview and good insight into the quarterback of your Cleveland
Browns.
What do
you know?
That kicks off.
We'll see if everybody thinks it's good.
Number two.